From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott, and we're listening to Lana Del Rey's singing Young and Beautiful. It's a recurring musical motif from Baz Luhrmann's retelling of The Great Gatsby.
Hot summer nights, mid-July, when you and I were forever wild. The crazy days, city lights, the way you'd play with me like a child.
And here is what the song might have sounded like coming out of a Victrola in 1922, as imagined by the Bryan Ferry Orchestra. That is one of the songs from Yellow Cocktail Music, the Great Gatsby jazz recordings. It's a kind of a wayback machine for songs featured in the film by Jay-Z, will.i.am, Beyoncé, and others. And that soundtrack's executive producer was Jay-Z, produced by our guest Baz Luhrmann, the distinctive director, producer, and screenwriter for films like Romeo and Juliet, Moulin Rouge, and others, including the movie that kicked off the summer blockbuster season, The Great Gatsby. Baz Luhrmann, what a pleasure to have you with us.
Hello, Virginia. I am very pleased to be here.
Well, your films are known for, among other things, just absolutely original visual style and imaginative sets, and for their musical signatures. In fact, music is almost a character. The Great Gatsby soundtrack got a lot of attention for its hip-hop music. So remind us, why that choice?
I think you said it, actually. You said the music is almost a character. Now, of course, I'm attracted to things with music in it because I love it, and I worked very closely in music, and I've had an opera company and all those things. But F. Scott Fitzgerald made, in the book of The Great Gatsby, music a character. I mean, he took African-American street music called jazz, and he literally wrote it into the text. So when we began this journey, Anton Monstead and I and Craig Pearce, the co-writer, that music was very immediate. It was very dangerous. It was very of the moment. And, you know, Fitzgerald was that kind of storyteller. He was a modernist. He was in the moment. So, you know, we were addressing this issue of how do we make the film feel like the novel felt to read in 1925? How did it have that kind of pop cultural immediate feeling? And so came the idea of another African-American street music, and that was hip-hop. And that led me to the wonderful collaboration with the other Jay-Z. And then we had to find a kind of translation of not just hip-hop and now contemporary music, but also we needed to glide into a traditional jazz sound. And that became a journey of looking for who might do that. And it ended with Bryan Ferry.
Now, Jay-Z and Bryan Ferry were both on the project, as I understand, pretty early. So what does that mean for you as a filmmaker? Are they creating music for scenes that have already shot? How do you collaborate with them?
Right back when we were writing, I mean, many years ago when I started, I would write, you know, Craig Pearce and I made that decision in the text. So we said, look, where it says, you know, a famous traditional jazz piece in the Fitzgerald, we would translate that into a contemporary song that was similar. You know, I've worked producing musically in the studio. I've worked with a lot of artists, and when I came, I think Ant and I came to this idea of it has to be hip-hop. It was like, well, you know, there's the chairman of the board.
Tears on the mausoleum floor, bloodstains the Coliseum doors, lies on the lips of a priest.
And so one day, before we shot the film, Leonardo rang me, and I'd never met Jay-Z. I had worked previously with Beyoncé, but I never met Jay. And Leonardo said, hey, you know, Jay's up at the Mercer. You want to come up and meet him at the Mercer Hotel? So I went up, and I went into a room in the Mercer Hotel, and there was Jay and a recorder. And he leaned over to the microphone and he said, hey, I'll just be with you in a minute. And he goes, lies on the lips of a priest, rolling in the Rolls-Royce Caniche. And he'd just finished Church in the Wild.
Yeah.
So I told him all about what I was doing. And before I really got through it, he said, we've got to do this. It's that important. And that collaboration was very close and very involved, along with a guy called James Samuels and Anton Monstead. We were a team. And it was very hands-on, and he was more than just a musical collaborator. Jay was a great help in shaping the movie. He was a great sounding board for the film itself. In fact, he and Swizz Beatz were the first two people ever to see a rough cut of the movie.
But, you know, I'm also thinking about this idea of the street music of the day in hip-hop,
sure.
which was jazz in the 1922,
sure.
when the film was actually, the year sure. the film was about. And this kind of association, you know, it was said to be racy music. It was sort of sexy. It was, we see a lot of that kind of excess on the screen in this film. I mean, wild
yeah.
excess.
It was called the roaring, it was called the roaring 20s, not the polite 20s, you know, like.
Well, so you made this transformation in the film to use hip hop, but then comes this other project with Brian Ferry
yep.
using original jazz instrumentation and arrangements. So let's do a little thing here. We're going to hear Brian Ferry from Roxy Music back in 1975 singing Love is the Drug, and then we'll hear Love is the Drug from Yellow Cocktail Music, the Great Gatsby jazz recording. So we did a little mashup of the original. Here, let's hear
cool.
it.
Cool.
Boy meets girl where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight. Shake love is the drug, got a hook on me. Late at night, I park my car, stick my face in a singles bar, face to face, toe to toe, heart to heart as we hit the floor, lumber up. Limbo down, the luck embrace, the stumble round. I say go, she say yes.
Well, there's something like instantly bawdy about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, actually having the 70s where I went like, oh, maybe we should put a bit of that in there too, because it rocked out really well. But you know, that's the point, I think, Virginia, that we're trying to make. Jay made this great rhyme that he did for $100 bills in the speakeasy scene. And he said, history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I get from that is that universal humanity reaches through time and geography. And that's what music can do for us in shorthand.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of what we were trying to do in trying to blend without effort. There's one scene, interestingly enough, where we go from Beyoncé's version of Back to Black, then Andre 3000 sings, then it's orchestral, then it comes in, and then it's when the characters are in the space, the music they're hearing is Brian Ferry's jazz orchestra version of that track. And we're just trying to say the characters are hearing one thing, but it feels like this to them.
Let's hear a little bit of that Back to Black. This is, of course, the Amy Winehouse composition, and as Baz Luhrmann says, goes through a few transformations.
We only said goodbye with words. I know 100 times I go back to her and you go back to
I left no time to regret. Kept my lips wet with your same old safe bed.
Well, I'm curious about that, sort of using the music in that way. You know, again, music as a character. I'm thinking of Beyoncé and Jay-Z's Crazy in Love. Now, in this film, it
yeah.
is sung by Emily Sandé, and it's used
yeah.
for this scene when Jay Gatsby, he's about to reunite with Daisy over tea. Let's listen to the almost giddy interpretation by the Brian Ferry Orchestra. Now, besides the instrumentation there, the sound is so evocative of an era. What were you doing
yeah.
with that song at that time in the film?
Right then, Jay Gatsby is Crazy in Love. And it's interesting, isn't it? Like, that song is Crazy in Love, and the other one is Love is the Drug. And in the end, you know, Jay Gatsby's ideal of love, and I mean the word ideal, it's the green light. It's no one can ever come up to it. He has imagined perfect love in his mind. He has imagined his auspicious future. And he simply can't allow anyone or anything to interfere with that vision. And when they do, or they let him down, or it doesn't pan out the way he wrote it in his vision, then that way, my friend, lies madness. Mm. So to say crazy in love is a pretty specific and clear musical idea. And in the movie, he's so nervous about the reuniting with Daisy. He thinks, oh, you know, I'll just get the grass cut and I'll bring over a few flowers. And of course, she, as she says in the book, what did you do, ransack a greenhouse or something? You know. And the great thing about the jazz is, the jazz version of it, you know, you're right to say a kind of, it's a bit screwball, you know, it's a bit Buster Keaton, it's a bit silent film, it's a bit wacky, you know, because he is a bit wacky at that time.
We're speaking with Baz Luhrmann about the jazz soundtrack from his newest film, The Great Gatsby. And of course, the green light that we're talking about there is across the sound is the green light at the end of Daisy's dock that he sort of idealizes, imagines that if he could just have Daisy again, things would be all right. And then what comes next, I guess, is the question. So actually, I'm curious about that. When you turn a sort of hip-hop song into a jazz song, you talked about the similarity, but what was that like actually reworking? Did you work very closely with Brian Ferry on that?
Sure.
Kind of reworking?
You know, actually, one of my great joys, once I've shot the film, because filmmaking, the act of it, is really completely absorbing and exhausting. You know, it just is, there's no stop. But we planned the music before we made the movie, but we made the music after the movie. And it always tends to be a period that I really enjoy. I love going up to Glasgow and working with Craig Armstrong on the score. I love recording at Air Studios with a symphony orchestra. I loved working with a young XX, which is a young group, that, and being in the studio with them. They literally played to the film pictures. Florence of Florence the Machines is a good friend of mine. I worked with her. She sang to picture. Now with Brian, you know, we started out with just saying, look, just do a few pieces. And Brian, in the Brian Ferry Orchestra, doesn't really sing. I said, Brian, you've got to sing. And he went, oh, you know, he speaks very nicely. I don't know if I can possibly ever. And then, well, I might just have a go at it. You know, and he did Back to Black. Of course, it was so haunting and beautiful and perfect. Because if any person was born to be a sort of jazz age crooner, it's Brian Ferry.
Yes. And he always had that glamour even, you know, way back when.
I mean, for sure. Absolutely, he was channeling that. So, yes, the guys would work in the studio. I had some great members of my team over there in London. But what kept happening, Virginia, was I just kept saying, look, we need more. Couldn't you do New York State of Mind? Couldn't you do Bang Bang by Will.i.am? And a lot of jazz, and this was one of the issues, if I'd just done the film and done traditional jazz, and by the way, we do have some very famous traditional jazz pieces on the album by artists of the time like Jelly Roll Morton and, you know, Louis Armstrong and Irving Aronson, you know. But that music is classical music. You know, it's highly revered. There's a reverence about it. And when people play that music now, they tend to be very reverential and they play it on expensive instruments. Whereas what Brian's got going on is he's got some of the greatest jazz musicians in the world and they really play it rough, you know. Like those early recordings have a kind of, you know, it's a bit like early rock and roll. They have a roughness about it, a kind of visceral, in-the-moment feel. And Brian has managed to capture that in his band, you know.
There is a song, New Orleans Bump, that's a Jelly Roll Morton, I think, composition that's on the record.
Sure.
I can imagine them being at one of these parties. You know, of course, they would be playing in the band, most likely. Let's evoke one of these parties. This is Bang Bang. Will.i.am did it in the movie on this Brian Ferry Yellow Cocktail Music record. We hear it by the Brian Ferry Orchestra. Your films are so kind of drenched in color and in music. And this film was so thorough in its detail to the visuals of the period and the fashion. But musically, not so much. So does a contemporary audience have more hoops to jump through for music?
I thought about it early on. And of course I knew there'd be a lot of controversy. I suppose controversy. I didn't really imagine as much. But eyeball rolling. Oh, couldn't he just put the, you know. But I just, like, I really lived the life of F. Scott Fitzgerald for a couple of years. Myself, my wife, Catherine Martin, CM, my gang. Meaning that we researched it so much, Zelda and Scott, you know, and their life and what it was like. And one thing that struck me was, I mean, he was 28, 29. They were the original youth quake. I mean, they were young, and I'm not that young. So I really wanted to make sure that I didn't approach the film as a kind of historical record. People often say, well, the film's so colorful. You know, I imagined it should have been in black and white. When you look at Fitzgerald's book, he describes lurid color. He yellow cocktail music, you know, the use of color. And when we found actual early color film of costumes of that period, they are so lurid and so block colored. Everything was intense. Everything was at full throttle. Everything was sweeping up. The stock market, buildings, women's skirts, hair was being bobbed. And so I just felt we had to look at the music in that way too. We had to get the audience to feel as it may have felt in the 20s, you know?
Baz Luhrmann, I really want to thank you for your time today.
Well, that's great, and I hope you enjoy Brian Ferry's Jazz Age Orchestra's version of the Yellow Cocktail Music, because it's quite a different beast from the first album we released.
I really have already done so. Baz Luhrmann, filmmaker, screenwriter, music producer, or among other things. His latest work is The Great Gatsby, and we have been listening to Yellow Cocktail Music. That's The Great Gatsby Jazz Recordings. Available online now, but will be on the streets in late July. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. We do invite you to join in Word of Mouth's mission to spread new ideas. You can post links to segments on your Facebook page, you can retweet things you heard to your followers, or email segments to your friends. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us again tomorrow at noon and again at 9 p.m. to hear more of what's bubbling up on Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby, Zach Nugent, and Bill Barry.
And senior producer Rebecca Lavoie, with plenty of help from our interns,
Molly Donahue
and Logan Shannon.
Sarah Plord is our digital producer.
And Dan Colgan runs our board.
The views expressed in this program
are those of the individuals,
and not those of NHPR, its board of trustees,
or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcast and listen to past shows, go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook and Tumblr.
Follow us on Twitter.
And check out a playlist of music from the program
on Spotify.
Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire
Public
Radio.